Hey everyone, Josh Neeson. This is Josh Neeson's Punch Out on WrestlingObserver.com. First part of June 2019. Hope you guys are doing well. It's been a little while since I recorded a show and really just kind of just taking a couple months off, kind of recharging a bit. But the summer months, there's a lot of stuff I want to talk about. So I'm looking forward to doing it here, looking at a list potentially of like 8 straight shows. So hopefully all this stuff comes together. If not, we'll make something happen. But a lot of stories I want to tell, and hopefully you guys enjoy this. Again, if you're here for the first time, I talk a lot about MMA, but really kind of MMA from the media side of things, the business side of things, and also pro wrestling, the same thing. So we try to go, I want to say, stay away from the event coverage because we do a lot of that here, but we try to do things a little bit differently. So again, if you're here for the first time, welcome. Hope you're doing good. And yeah, for everyone else, yeah, missed you guys. And I'll try not to leave you here for another couple months. So this is what I was interested about this week. The Athletic, getting into MMA coverage, our space, getting into this thing, subscription services, something Wrestling Observer knows all about, even though this is a free show. So I was really interested in this because when a big entity or growing entity like The Athletic gets into it, I was kind of curious, like, you know, what are the intentions, what are they looking to do, and the staff that they put together is really impressive and plucking out some of the top talents from other websites, but they're not looking to do the stuff that other websites do. So I was kind of curious about that, and thankfully, all but one of the writers on the staff have been on the show before. So I sent a few tweets, DMs, few emails, and lo and behold, we got 2 people on the show. Very easy to do. So we lead off with managing editor Dan Stupp. Dan is a 2-time former guest, past guest on the show, and formerly the MMA Junkie. So he was on for about half an hour and kind of just got his insights on how he came to this project, what his expectations are, what he's learned from the past, and so on and so forth. So that's what we're leading off with. And then we transition to old friend Sean Alshadi, formerly of MMA Fighting, but obviously now The Athletic. We talked for, again, about half an hour and talked about things from the writer's side. And he admits a lot of things. He's pretty scared about this thing, and scared in a good way. And now kind of make more sense as you listen to his interview. But both are really good in their own ways. I hope you guys enjoyed this. And again, if you're kind of wondering why they're getting into it, or if you may be thinking about what to expect, I would encourage you to listen to this. I think you guys will get a lot out of it. And I will tell you up front, I am an Athletic subscriber. This was two months ago, before I knew any of this was going to happen. I got one of those 40% off deals that they actually talk about in the show. And I think I'm paying like $2.99 a month because I was really curious and I can't remember what drew me in, but I think it was just a few articles I wanted to read. And I was like, you know what? Let's just try this thing out. I think it turned out to be like, again, $3 a month. So yeah, $35-$36 a year. So worth the gamble. And so far I've been really entertained by it. And after all the interviews, I'll kind of give you a few other tips and tricks. If you're a first time Athletic user, so stick around for that. But I've talked to you for about 3 minutes, so let's get to the interviews right now. Again, Dan Stupp, managing editor of the Athletic's MMA niche vertical, we'll call it that. And then Sean Alshadi, who's one of the lead writers for that as well, talking about everything The Athletic. So again, we'll see you in about an hour. Enjoy the conversation, and I'll talk to you after Sean. Goodbye. Well, when we last talked to our guest this week, it was months ago, and he was doing some freelance work for ESPN.com after taking some time off, obviously, from departing MMA Junkie. And now, my God, he's at the top of the MMA media world as far as interest level goes with this brand new venture heading up the Athletic's MMA coverage and, the managing editor of the MMA coverage for The Athletic. Dan Stupp is here, and Dan, we'll start you out with the really tough questions first. You know, managing editors have to field these. Are you proud now to be a member, be aligned with, you know, Jose Canseco, Mark McGuire, Ricky Henderson, and other famous Athletics in history?
I guess I didn't necessarily look at it that way, but yeah, I guess I don't know. I'd be the Dave Stewart, I imagine.
I did not know. So speaking of baseball, I did not know, and I don't remember if one of our first conversations you had mentioned this, perhaps you had, but you were a member of the Cincinnati Reds front office. And I was looking at that. It was reading your intro column. And I didn't know that that was kind of what led to the Rich Franklin appearance there, at Riverfront was the kind of the lead in how MMA Junkie gets started. I had no idea about that, but I also used to work in a pro sports front office. So I saw that and I was just like, oh, wow, that's really cool. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, no, I grew up a huge Reds fan and really got into journalism pretty young and thought I'd go be a features writer at a newspaper or something. But opportunity popped up to work for the Reds, which, like I said, was my favorite team. But it was fun. I was doing website stuff, newsletter, media guides, even ghostwriting speeches and stuff for the team executives. So it wasn't necessarily journalism, but, you know, it kind of took care of my writing bug and obviously led to a lot of opportunities, like getting into the MMA game.
I think now if I went into sports, I guess it's very similar to media now, and that it feels like you have to know a little bit of everything. Like you have to know a little bit of how to write. You have to know social. You have to understand various social media channels. You have to understand a little bit about Photoshop, a little bit about this. And when I first got started, I just needed to know how to sell. That's how I kind of worked my way into marketing, right? It was minor league sports. So it's always like, can you sell group tickets to hockey players? Right. And so, you know, that was kind of how you worked your way in. Now it just seems like you, depending on how you get in, you have to know so many different things. And yeah, I don't know what, I don't know if I would still like it as much. I guess I would, but it just seems a lot more complicated now. Maybe that's just the way the world is.
Yeah, and, you know, when I came in there, a few years after I joined the front office was when the Reds launched their creative services department, which kind of a lot of teams at the time were starting to do. They were using the marketing and ad agencies a little less, and because, you know, they wanted to bring that stuff in-house and not have to pay for it. But, you know, I think that opportunity was there for me because, you know, going through journalism school, I did learn the Photoshop, even some video editing, you know, regular editing, writing features. And, it you know, over the years, just being with the Reds and still having some friends there, I think that's the way definitely, you know, not just journalism, but, you know, front office sports jobs go. They want people who know at least a little bit about a lot of things. And I think the difference is you actually use them every day, the social media and the Photoshop and editing and stuff like that. So, but no, it prepared me well for the job, you know, kind of getting into MMA as an editor. You really do have to do a lot of different things, not just the writing and editing, but, you know, your social media, your graphics and things like that. So, it's good. It sounds like folks who are coming out of journalism and communications programs now, the schools are realizing, you know, your best shot at a job is really knowing all these different things that years ago would have kind of been a specialty for one person, and now you kind of have to know it all.
Well, speaking of journalism, with a big J, you're with a really good place now in The Athletic. And in The Athletic, obviously, for those that consume any type of sports media out there, obviously know what The Athletic is. It's a pay content subscriber site. But it is basically, and really over the last, I would say it feels like 6 to 8 months, give or take, that they've started to add a lot more sports coverage in different niches, like, you know, WNBA, I think they just added recently, obviously MMA, which we're talking about today, and some other ones, and obviously adding people all the time. And it was funny about this. So I first heard about this through Jeremy Botter's Wizard subscription service that The Athletic was launching an MMA section. And it was just kind of weird because, like, the week before, maybe 10 days before, I was just being a random, I was driving to work and I was thinking, like, you know, I actually just started subscribing to The Athletic probably about 2 months ago. I wanted to read some of the fantasy sports coverage and some other stuff, and I got a really good deal to do it. So I'm like, yeah, I'll try this out for a year. Why not? And I was thinking, you know, I wonder if they're ever going to do MMA coverage. And I almost emailed just to ask if there was interest in doing that, or maybe just freelance stuff, one-off stuff. And then all of a sudden, a week later, I learned that The Athletic is launching it. So tell me kind of how things started, your conversations with The Athletic, and kind of how this thing first became born.
Yeah, and I had, you know, I was doing a little freelance work, MMA and non-MMA, but I kind of assumed my days, you know, covering MMA full-time were pretty much over. And then just kind of got a call out of the blue one day from Dan Kaufman at The Athletic, and he was building a MMA team. He told me he was already talking to some potential writers, and then just also people that they weren't necessarily looking to hire, but they just he wanted to kind of talk to them to get an idea, you know, of who would be worth hiring or some of the big names in the space. And I actually owe a lot to Ariel Helwani. He was one of the first guys who mentioned my name to Dan Kaufman to get me on his radar. But I think pretty quickly on, thankfully, it sounded like they knew that, you know, they wanted me to kind of edit the section. And, you know, they asked me to put together a dream team of writers. If I could pick anybody I'd want, who would I want? And thankfully, I gave them my list, and every name that they were already talking to was already on my list. So, you know, I didn't necessarily build the team myself. I had a say in it, but even if I had, it probably would have been the same team that we ended up with. But the good thing is, you know, like you mentioned, The Athletic's been building new verticals. We actually have a couple more launching next week. I won't spoil the surprise, but I think MMA fans will be pretty excited about one of them. But, you know, they've been launching these verticals. They've got a system in place. They get people, you know, hired quickly once we get in the system. I went through my orientation a few weeks ago. Most of the writers just went through this week, but it's just so organized. The emphasis really is on just good storytelling and good journalism. You know, so for a time being, we couldn't be happier. I know the writers have really enjoyed their first week and the feedback. Obviously, putting anything behind a paywall, especially when you're an MMA fan and you're used to kind of paying for everything, we knew that was going to be a big ask of readers. You know, to spend a few more bucks a month on something. But again, the reaction's been phenomenal. I think just about everybody who's paid for a subscription said that they feel like they've already gotten their money's worth. So I feel like we're doing our jobs.
So what in this pitch to you, what really hooked you in? What really, because obviously, you know, people get offers for, and through the years, this happened, new website, and you know this better than anyone, new websites, new ventures, new this, new that. What about this was what really kind of stood out to you, or from the minute they called, were you just like, oh, if they want to do this, let's do this, or was there, you know, was there something that really just hooked you in?
Yeah, no, I was definitely not completely sold. Just the Athletic had actually called me a day after my wife and I had signed papers to buy an optometry practice in Virginia. She's an optometrist.
And wow,
going to help run the business side of things. And the very next day, you know, this was like a month-long process, and the very next day is when they reached out to me. So thankfully, I have a wonderful wife, and she saw it was a good opportunity. Unfortunately, now a lot of the responsibility of the practice is falling on her, but she's a saint. So anyway, you know, I went into it not necessarily looking to jump at the first job. I felt like, you know, I had kind of, you know, committed to a bit of a career change, and I was happy with that. But just everything they told me was so appealing. You know, the comment that they kept saying was, you're not going to be stuck in the hamster wheel of fight week coverage. You know, it's not going to be put out as much content as you can, put in out 20 stories from the media scrums, and then immediately shifting to the next event and thinking, you know, not even day to day, but hour to hour. They're like, you know, we'll do some event stuff. If we can time some of our features with the events, fantastic. But we just really want to tell stories, and especially the stories that haven't been told before. So that was definitely appealing. Obviously, the writers we got, you know, a few of them I worked with at MMA Junkie, a few guys really respected from MMA Fighting, a guy like Josh Gross, who's been around forever. You kind of start throwing it all in there. And I think for me, the very big thing, the past few years, I think anyone who's worked in media has felt the, you know, we've been pushed so much to, you know, clicks and page views. And I don't want to say clickbait. I think sometimes people confuse an intriguing or interesting headline for clickbait. When,
yeah.
You know, as long as the story delivers, you know, it's fine. But I know you can't always deliver what you promise in a headline. So I don't know. It was a combination of factors. But I think the main one was that it felt like I was going back to the type of journalism when I was first interning for newspapers in college, and we didn't have to worry about social media and autoplay videos and pop-ups and stuff like that. It just it felt old school journalism, and to me that was really appealing.
Yeah, and I was trying to think of how the best way is to describe The Athletic, and you're right, it's not the you're not going to get like the results from last night's game in a sense of like the traditional game story, and like you were mentioning, like fight week recaps and. Scrums and everything that just we have to get every single possible, squeeze everything out of this every possible session. And sometimes it's just like, is this even news? And for a lot of it, it's really not. Just people kind of make it news because they can, again, manipulate a headline or something like that. But it, to me, it seems like The Athletic, it's like a combination of kind of beat coverage in a sense, but also like, I'd say more it's like heartbeat coverage, like kind of just the, some of the stories you're mentioning, like the traditional when newspapers had their traditional columnist A and columnist B, they'll kind of tell you the stories underneath the game stories and just kind of like, fill in the lines a bit and so on. So I was trying to kind of best describe The Athletic, but it's not just a collection of columnists, but it's more, I guess it really is storytellers. I know in this content driven world that that term kind of gets overused a bit, but I think that might be the best way to describe it, yeah?
Yeah, I think kind of a really good way to put it into context is Sean Alshante from MMA Fighting. He joined us. He's done some phenomenal work this week, but just a really good example that we just published about an hour ago was he tagged along with Henry Cejudo when he went to go throw out a ceremonial first pitch before a Chicago Cubs game. And if we had done that, I think a lot of sites or, where I used to work, we'd probably go get video of it, throw in a quote or two, maybe do a little photo gallery, which, that's cool. Instead, he did a couple thousand really intriguing words on why Henry feels the need, to wear a crown and his gold medal and kind of go over the top. And I think the obvious reasons are, okay, well, whether you hate him or love him or you think it's smart or stupid, at least you're paying attention to him. But it really goes beyond that. It's putting the kind of the future of the flyweight division kind of rests on his shoulders. One of his coaches had mentioned, Henry kind of is a cringy guy in real life. But he took some advice from Chael Sonnen to, whoever you are, just amplify it by 10. And that's the stuff that's going to get people to pay attention. So, yeah, it may be over the top, but it's still based in a bit of reality of who this guy is. And I felt like I had read everything on Henry Cejudo and understood who he was. And then just a trip to the ballpark, and Sean comes back with this amazing story where I feel like I have a much better understanding of who he is. And I think that really represents the type of stories that we're trying to do, even if it's a type of thing that we would have done in the past or other sites are doing now. We're going to try to find a new, more in-depth and more focused way of doing it. And I think we're getting some really cool content taking that approach. And I just feel fortunate that we have the luxury and the resources to be able to spend the time to do that stuff, because I know a lot of media outlets, unfortunately, they don't get that those kind of resources or that kind of time to flush out stories like that.
So for those that don't know the team, it is Dan, of course, Shaheen Alshadi, Chad Dundas, Ben Folks, Josh Gross, Chuck Mindenhall, and also Fernanda Prates, if I'm pronouncing that right. And so what's interesting here is that a lot of these are some of the best voices from all these sites that were competing before, Junkie, Fighting, Josh worked with a bunch of different sites and so on. So there's also, I think, going to be, and this can be really good, especially for those people that have worked with news organizations, newsrooms, so to speak, that there's a little bit of competition to tell the best stories, and the good kind of competition is to dig a little bit deeper, to maybe look down an avenue you may not look before. So I imagine this is pretty fun toy box to play with, with all these different writers that have done this, and also, yeah, that competition there to, I don't want to say one-up each other, but tell the best stories and maybe do something a little bit different.
Yeah, I think it was maybe not a concern, but just something I had in the back of my mind, and even kind of some of the editors at The Athletic felt that, they were kind of telling me, it can be a challenge when you've got big-name writers kind of all under the same umbrella, and the term that they were using was competition, but I think if anything, we've learned kind of in our first week, it's just more that these guys are such good sounding boards for each other. And You know, if they have an idea, they can run it by the team and really polish it. So, yeah, I don't think it's much. It's really competition so much as collaboration. And when you get, you know, five or six really good writers and really creative and sharp people together, they can really help each other kind of take their own writing to the next level. And it's great how it's been working out. I think we put together a really good team that works together. You know, they're not real big egos, even though they're really big names. And you know, I think we're getting some really, really great content because of it.
And a few podcasts going to be on here as well. The Man, the Myth, which will be Sean and Chuck. Josh is bringing over Gross Point Blank. And I want to ask a little bit about Fernanda, because that's a name I'm not super familiar with. I am a little bit, but she is obviously, and again, no disrespect to her, she's kind of the lesser known probably to the general audience when it comes to MMA content. Maybe talk a little bit about her, obviously being bilingual with Brazil, Portuguese, and English is big. She's going to bring over her podcast as well. Kind of a, maybe, I don't want to say introducer, but talk a little bit about her and kind of what she brings to the table and why it's important to have her on the team.
Yeah, I got to know Fernanda pretty well. We worked three years together at MMA Junkie. You know, obviously she's a bit younger than us, and you know, the fact that English isn't her native language, it seems like it'd be kind of two tough hurdles for her to overcome, but really her English is as good as anybody else that I worked with. The fact that she's bilingual and speaks Portuguese obviously gives us a lot more access to the Brazilian market. And then she's actually getting ready to move up to Toronto to relocate there. So it'll be nice to have someone just up in Canada, you know, closer to those events and stuff. But, you know, she's a really good follow on Twitter. She's outspoken. She's opinionated. But I think, you know, in a really good, mature way, especially for someone her age. But, you know, I felt bad when she was with MMA Junkie. Sometimes we didn't give her the best or sexiest or most exciting assignments to work on, but she always did a good job. And, you know, the rare times that we could actually free up some time for her to work on longer stories, I always felt like she did a really phenomenal job. And she actually did a really good column coming out of the recent pay-per-view event in Brazil, you know, kind of explaining as a Brazilian what it meant and what it was like to watch so many of these, you know, aging Brazilian fighters, you know, kind of losing and just not looking the same, and why the country has such an emotional investment to these guys. So I think The Athletic can give someone like her a really good platform and the resources and the time to really do some stories. Because anytime we gave her the time or that we could free her up to work on some of this stuff, she always produced really amazing things. And I know, you know, even she will say, you know, I feel like I don't belong in this group, or I'm kind of the, you know, the black sheep of this group. But I really think her writing's up there with all the other guys. She's just a little less experienced. But I think, you know, a few years at The Athletic, she's going to be another big name in the writing world.
And that's how people learn, right? I think that's a big thing with you. If you look over history in here, you know, some more legendary columnists and voices in sports media. Sometimes you'll start to hear, yeah, I worked in a newsroom doing the agate page with this name, and you just sit and you soak things in. And I think that's kind of gets lost in today's world, but often that's how people learn. It's how they used to learn back in the old days. It doesn't sound too old, but you know what I mean? That's the idea, is that you learn from people around you and ask questions, and as long as there's the confidence in you, you can to try different things. That's how people become big names on their own. So I think she's in obviously a really great company there. When it comes to, you know, things that you've learned in your past and what you bring to The Athletic, what are some of the, I want to say, the mistakes you hope to avoid, but what are some of the things that you've learned that you hope to learning experience you hope to bring to The Athletic?
I think the big thing is, you know, when you've got good writers, you know, just kind of let them do their thing, and your job may not be so much, you know, editing them or, you know, it can be, I don't even want to say cheerleading, but it can be more, you know, I think a lot of writers, even really good writers, just they want to be able to kind of bounce ideas off someone that they really feels like has the best interest in mind, not just for them as a writer, but for the company you're writing for. I think you build a really neat relationship there. And I think, you know, obviously, someone like Ben Folks, I worked with at MMA Junkie, like, he doesn't take, when it comes to actually writing the stories and editing the stories, like, I mean, most of the time, like, I'm struggling to even find anything to edit or fix or any suggestions to give him because it's so good to begin with. But I think, you know, over my years in MMA, I realized that a big part of your job, especially as an editor, is just helping writers, you know, formulate good ideas or sharpen their ideas or look at things in a new way that maybe they hadn't thought of before. So I don't know. I think, you know, the big thing I've learned over the years is just, you know, kind of what a relationship between a writer and editor should be. You know, I feel like I've gotten fairly good at that. It's always a challenge when you're working with new people for the first time, but I think so far so good, and thankfully, like I've mentioned a million times, you know, we got such a good team in place that it really does make my job pretty easy.
And what is the what was the athletic expectation for MMA? Obviously, you've mentioned that you know, obviously they don't have to worry about the things like ad revenue and so on. It's a, you know, subscription based business. But do they have expectations for where they would like things to be? Do they? I mean, obviously you have some sort of insight in how stories are performing, but you know, how does that differ than, I guess, what you've done in the past?
Yeah, instead of, you know, a good day, you know, most websites, it's based on your ad revenue, your video pre-roll, your page views, your clicks, things like that. And it's so nice, you know, with The Athletic, yeah, they have their own metrics to decide, you know, or that'll calculate kind of whether a story was a hit or not, you know, based on engagement, the amount of time people spend on the story and stuff. But really, the way The Athletic kind of, you know, judges success is really based on just the final product. Was it a good story? Whether people read it or not, was it a good story? Was it a story that people can't get elsewhere? Is it one that, you know, the writers are really proud of? And I think, you know, that as an editor, that's what you want. You know, obviously we want as many people to come to The Athletic and subscribe and check us out. But if at the end of the day, two people are reading us, but we're really, really, you know, proud of the work that we put out and the stories, then, you know, we can be a little satisfied. Granted, two subscribers probably isn't going to keep us around too long, but I think at least the initial reaction, it sounds like we've had quite a few sign-ups. And, you know, we actually have a deal going on with the MMA section now where you can get 40% off for a year, which comes out to $2.99 a month, which, again, I know MMA fans are already spending a lot of money, but we feel like for that $2.99, people are really going to get something out of it, and it'll be $3 well spent. So.
Yeah, and I've seen, you know, some of the writers interact with people about, you know, the we have to pay for this or whatever, and I thought Ben had a good exchange, a good respectful exchange with someone. You know, that this is the way that things always used to be, in that you have to buy a Sports Illustrated, you had to buy a Newsweek, buy the newspaper, pay, you know, it was just part of it. So it's now, but there's, what's good is that there's, I mean, obviously our website, the Observer website, is subscription based. There's Netflix is subscription. I mean, there's so many, now it's becoming like pretty commonplace that I think people, my hope is that in this next, because this means more jobs and more opportunities for people in this next, you know, 5 years, it could be 3 years, whatever, that people are like, oh yeah, you have to pay for these things. And really the emphasis is going to go on, let's provide quality and let's provide things that people are willing to and want to engage with and tell others about it. And I think if you get to that spot and The Athletic gets that spot, which it has already, obviously by adding these verticals, I think that just makes everything better and that expectations go up, but then the quality goes up as a result of that.
Yeah. And you know, I think Ben explains it really well too. You know, when I saw him answering some, you know, questions on Twitter about it and people saying that, you know, they don't have the extra money or can't justify spending a few bucks on coverage. And it's like, well, you know, it's like he said, you're paying for it one way or another, whether you're getting bombarded with pop-up ads or you know, video pre-roll, stuff you didn't click on. You pay for it one way or another. I think for me, you know, I like reading longer form stuff. I'll happily pay a couple bucks a month just to have an easier reading experience where I'm not dodging ads or clicking on multiple pages to get to the, you know, the second half of the story and things like that. And thankfully, you know, I think some MMA fans will never, subscribe to something like that. They'll, you know, they'll want whatever is free, and that's perfectly just a, you know, justified. But I think there is quite a number, or quite a few sports fans and MMA fans who, you know, they want to invest in something that they find interesting and entertaining. And, you know, I'm young enough to remember when you went out and bought newspapers and magazines. I still buy, you know, the local newspaper out here for 50 cents a week. But, you know, I think, you know, hopefully in time we start to kind of go back to the old way of doing things, where if you want something, you understand that spending a few bucks, you're getting something probably a little more quality than you'd be getting otherwise. So we're optimistic, and like I said, the at least the initial week numbers, it looks like we're headed in the right direction, so we're pretty happy.
And if you, dear listener, want to subscribe, you simply go to theathletic.com/MMA launch. You get 40% off the annual price. Comes out to $3 a month, $2.99 to be exact, as Dan mentioned. But I did one of these deals a couple months ago for a different offer, and have been really enjoying kind of like getting to understand the app, getting to understand how they present the coverage and so on. So, yeah, it's again, I think it's worth the shot for people, and people will get used to paying for this, and the expectations will go up. But I mean, already, if you're just into like MMA writing, I mean, I looked at the main page here just as a few minutes ago, the feature in Henry Cejudo that Dan just mentioned. Josh Gross, I mean, some of the headlines here. Do you want to be an FN UFC owner, by Josh Gross, about UFC ownership? There's a Q&A that Chuck did. There was a session, a Q&A that Chad and Ben did yesterday. There's a good Tony Ferguson feature on here. Joe Riggs, a name that a lot of people remember. So there's a lot of different things to get on here. I read this Brian Stann feature that Chuck did the other day that was really good. So there's a lot of different features and different way of presenting this, so I'm kind of selling it for you, Dan. But this is, so far, I mean, again, this thing has been around for, what, a week or so, and already there's I think people are going to kind of get into the flow of, like, what to expect, and hopefully, you know, go here first. And I think you got a good thing on your hands here, so congratulations. And, anything else to say to sell people on the launch? I don't know what else we can say.
No, I think there was some confusion, but for your $3 a month or whatever deal you end up getting, it's not just the MMA section. You get all the other coverage, too. You know, for me, I'm a big Cincinnati Reds and Cincinnati Bengals fan and University of Missouri. I like golf and NASCAR. Like, all that stuff's on there. Your app and your homepage, you customize it to just the stuff you want to see. You know, so you're really getting a lot for your money. And like I said, we got some new verticals launching next week and over the next few weeks, which I think combat sports fans especially will like. So you really are going to be getting a lot for your $3. And, you know, if you don't feel like you are, you can cancel. But I think, you know, most people who sign up will realize that they're really getting a lot for their money and be happy with it.
Yep. And one thing also, podcasts, if people are looking for those, you have to subscribe to get the podcast. You get them through the app. You don't get them through through other sources. So, again, if you're looking to check it out, yeah, again, spend the money, try it out. And, I think you're going to like what you see, because I do already. Dan Stupp, congratulations again. Thanks so much for stopping by and help explain the journey.
Awesome. I appreciate it, Josh. You've always been real supportive, and I appreciate that.
Hello, hello. Welcome back, my friends, all you beautiful people. Josh Nason's Punch-Out. Welcome back. I am, of course, Josh Nason, and man, what a great day. Thank you so much for joining us and joining me on the other line. As always, the one of my best friends of all time, the person that you know so well, so much, let him into your hearts, the King of Phoenix himself, Thunder Dan, Sean Elshadi. Sean, how you doing?
Oh my God, I'm doing wonderful. That was an amazing intro, sir. Say so myself.
You know where I got that from.
Oh, I know very well, and I appreciate it.
I was expecting you to be.
I like being on the other side of it.
I know. Well, I was expecting you to be grumbly, like Mark always was, and he used to try to play the heel to your baby face, you know.
Oh man, I can't. I just can't play the heel. I just can't.
No,
it's not in me.
You shouldn't. I mean, look, I know you're not too deep into the pro wrestling stuff, but you have let some New Japan in, and I think some AEW and so on. But, you know, in wrestling, sometimes, you know, they try to turn a babyface heel. It just doesn't work. So you just got to stick with what you know. And I mean, you're, I guess at this point, I'd call you the Shawn Michaels of wrestling, of our MMA media, right?
Did Shawn Michaels never go heel?
Actually, he started out as a heel, and then he went babyface, and then it was just kind of like everyone loved him. So maybe a later stage Shawn Michaels. How about that?
I like that. When I was a kid, I had I don't know what the game was. Maybe some kind of Royal Rumble game, but it was on the Game Boy, and Shawn Michaels was my guy in that game. It was Shawn Michaels and Yokozuna. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but those are my two in that game that I would do every single time I played it. It was a terrible game, I'm sure. But I enjoyed the hell out of it, so I will take it.
You just threw out a Game Boy reference?
Oh, absolutely.
My God. Look at you. Look at you.
Man, today is my 30th birthday. I'm an old man, so I guess I got the Game Boy references.
Dude, I'm 41. So now if you're an old man, I must be like, I'll just go jump in the grave and the graveyard next door.
I'm catching up to you quick.
That's right. However, I will say Tom Brady and I are the same age, so we'll just kind of keep that in mind. A lot of pliability going on here, you know.
Also, I will say, I mean, we could audible if you want to just do a 25-30 minute podcast about the greatness of Tom Brady. I'm your boy. We could go all night with that.
That's
I'll talk about the GOAT as long as you want to talk about the GOAT.
That's right. Yeah, the last time we had talked, one of the times we talked over the past couple of years. Yeah, you're a huge Patriots fan.
Yeah, right? And just all this winning, you know, you get sick of it sometimes. You just gotta vent about all this winning to somebody else who understands, you know?
That's true. I mean, we can't really relate that to the Phoenix Suns, but that may be for another time.
Oh, my God. I'm here. I'm trying to relate to you, and you're stabbing me in the heart. Oh, my goodness.
Look, I've heard you enough talk about them where I know that you despise them as much as you love them. It's a love-hate relationship, so that's why I said that. I know it's all out of love.
Well, there we go. You know, we got at least I have one team in my life that wins, and that just keeps me afloat. That's right.
Well, so you're in Chicago for UFC, whatever the number is, coming up on Saturday. Cejudo versus Moraes. That's how I remember it now. Just all the the main event and Cerrone Ferguson and of course Shevchenko and all that good stuff. And you have a feature up on The Athletic, and we'll about Henry Cejudo, and we'll talk about kind of The Athletic here in a few minutes. But as we talked to you on Friday afternoon, what's the vibe out there? What are you feeling?
It's I don't know that there's a real vibe in the air in Chicago, at least. They get an event here every year, so I think it's kind of old hat for them. But it is, I mean, it's one of the best cards of the year, in my opinion. I mean, you look up and down the roster, the lineup, there's a lot of good stuff. There's a lot of little nuggets to digest in all those matchups. And I mean, those top three are pretty good, especially Tony versus Donald. Tony versus Donald is basically the main event for me, and I cannot wait for that fight. If that fight was right now, I would be happy. I mean, that's just sensational.
Now, being with The Athletic, and we talked to Dan Stupp a little while ago, managing editor of the MMA niche, the section, as it were, on The Athletic, and just kind of how the coverage is going to be a lot different. There's, you know, with people that are used to traditional coverage of MMA fighting and Junkie and some of these other places, they're kind of used to how the whirlwind goes with a fight weekend to a fight weekend and then a couple days afterward. The Athletic obviously is a little bit different. For those that have subscribed, they get it. But for those that don't, you know, it's a lot of features and kind of insight and not necessarily and really not at all like, here's the results, here's 28 things from this press conference and so on and so forth. So is your experience with this fight week a little bit different? I mean, obviously with a new employer, it's different, but kind of just your expectations, what you have to do, and kind of like, I guess, breathe and kind of take things in a little bit more?
Yeah. You know, it is dramatically different, I will say. I mean, this is literally the first week of the site existing, and we are kind of thrust right into a fight week. So there hasn't been a lot of time to really figure everything out. So it's been kind of interesting to say the least. I mean, Chuck Mendenhall and I are here on the ground in Chicago, like you said, and it's a lot of removing yourself from the nitty gritty and just the day to day, the routine, and a lot of just instead looking at the long view, looking at, hey, on Wednesday, I'll focus all my energy on this one person or this one subject, and I'll kind of just try to figure out an interesting way to present that. And that's pretty much, I mean, it's Friday now. Wednesday was Tony Ferguson for me. Thursday was Henry Cejudo for me. And I really enjoy it, man. I've really, really enjoyed it. I feel like it's not, I mean, you can go 400 other places, right, to see the scrums and to see open workouts and weigh-ins and et cetera. I don't know that there needs to be another place in the MMA space for something like that. We're at least trying to do something a little different. I mean, this is the first week, so we're working out a lot of kinks. But that's the goal, ultimately, to just not be a competitor to all of these other various websites, but just bring something different, bring something interesting to the space that maybe has not been explored over the last, you know, couple of years with sort of McGregorification of the sport and the clickbaitification of the sport and just, you know, everything. Like you said, you get a press conference and you break it into 400 different articles just because you have to get traffic and you need it. I mean, that's just the reality of the internet at this point, and really the reality of news in general is you just have to get traffic and you have to get people into the door and sell those ads. So hopefully we can present something a little different. I don't know if we're succeeding yet, but we're certainly trying as hard as we can.
So you mentioned the word different, and I remember your live chat predecessor, Luke Thomas, still with MMA Fighting, of course, and Sirius. One of the things that he's talked about on live chats a lot in the past is, you know, people ask him for advice. And, you know, I think anyone that's kind of made it in the business, they've done a segment about kind of what people ask them for advice and so on. But Luke's has always been interesting and always kind of stuck in the back of my head, where he says, you know, I always say, try to find something that is different and really make that your own. And it's hard because with so many people covering stuff now and doing things at different angles, it's hard to find, you know, a niche to kind of find your way and make a name for yourself if that's your intent. To me, you know, the intent always should be good work, whatever. But Luke has always said, try to find something different and make yourself stand out. Don't just be the recap guy, because there's, I mean, 200 recap guys out there, or, you know, they do something different. So I think with The Athletic and talking to Dan and we'll get in a little bit about your situation, also reading some of the stuff that's on there, you do get the sense that this is a little bit different. It's more of a, I want to say mature feel, because that makes it feel like maybe dated, but I guess more of a, it's speaking to a different audience, I think. And I think maybe it's going to help some of the fan base grow a little bit, maybe grow up a little bit. And for some of those that are already there and kind of waiting for something a little bit more less than what you explained with some of the other websites, I think this is going to scratch that itch. That's my sense kind of within this first, you know, what, week or so, 5 days, whatever it's been.
No, I really hope you're right. That's certainly that I know there's a barrier to entry. Just you say the word paywall, that you're immediately cutting your audience in half. So that's certainly something we're all aware of. But yeah, man, I mean, this is, we were both people who've been in the sport a long time. It wasn't that long ago that a lot of this stuff was just happening regularly, right? Like we used to have half the time to be able to put care and thought into features and, you know, Ben Folks turning out masterworks all the time. And I used to have time to do bigger projects as well. And I think just over the last, like I said, last 4 or 5 years, it's just sort of slowly gotten harder and harder to do that. I've certainly heard it. I mean, I can only speak for myself, but I've certainly heard it from just the fan base of, you know, the MMA, all the criticism that the MMA media gets often. And I think to some degree, some of that's deserved. And I include myself in that because obviously I've been in this. But just, you know, everything is very thin. If that makes sense, everything is very surface level, and it's just because of sort of the expectations of the job at this point and really the demands of the job. And hopefully by now not having to worry about doing the results or doing the scrums or whatever, we can have time to put more, like I said, care and thought into, you know, what we're doing and present at least something unique, something different, maybe a different view, give somebody a different insight on a fighter or a coach or just a subject in general or an event, anything, maybe that's a little more involved than something that, you know, you would just see normally on any other website.
So go back to a few months ago. So you were kind of getting in the groove of things with Mark on the A-Side live chat, which if somebody has not heard that before, that was my intro. That was Sean always used to do the intros for that show. And I think you guys had done, I want to say maybe around maybe 30, 35 episodes, something like that. Maybe if it was that much, but, you're kind of just getting into that groove. And I listened to every one and you could tell, and I think I told you guys this, like things just take a while to develop, even though you and Mark knew each other forever, but those relationships take a while when it comes to a video product, an audio product, kind of just the back and forth and all that. And you really kind of came in that groove. And then, Mark announced he was leaving, for ESPN. And then about a month later, we had this word that Wizard was starting, or Wizard had put out something about the Athletic, getting into MMA, and then, you know, started to hear a few stories here and there. And all of a sudden your last, live chat just a few weeks ago. So I guess kind of as much as you, feel comfortable with telling, how did this first all come about?
Yeah, you know, it actually came about very, very quickly. I think literally maybe a week after Mark had left, Dan Kaufman, who was with the Athletic, contacted me and basically told me that they were putting together this team, and that, and he kind of told me, you know, the mission statement and also just the people that he was targeting. And I mean, you see the people that I'm now working with. I mean, Chuck and Ben Folks and Chad Dundas and Josh Gross and Fernanda, and just, you know, our team. And then Dan Stupp, obviously, our team is pretty unique, I think, in the MMA space and what we're able to do. And it was just, it was an opportunity that I felt like I would regret if I hadn't taken it. It's not often that these sort of opportunities come in the MMA space. I feel like we have reached a point where, I don't want to say it's stagnant, but I mean, there hasn't been a new player enter the space in a very long time at this point. It's been sort of the same people, the same teams doing the same things for a long time. This is just an opportunity to this was something that I really felt strongly about, that I, for my own, you know, personal growth and just something that I wanted to do. I needed to do it. I mean, I feel the video stuff is good and I enjoy doing the video stuff. And you know, you'd mentioned the live chat. That was a challenge that Mark and I wanted to take on. And it was a difficult thing. It was probably one of the most difficult things I've ever done, just because I went to school to write. I grew up wanting to write. I grew up, you know, reading Gary Smith and poring over Sports Illustrated and all these things. And the transition to video was very difficult, but it was rewarding in a lot of ways too. But at a certain point, it's just, you know, I want to spend my time trying to get better at what I feel I am best at. And it happened very, very quickly. I think within the time span of Dan contacting me to, you know, the whole team coming together and us actually announcing, it was probably just a month. It came together extraordinarily quickly, but I think we are all very, very excited for sort of the potential of this and what we can do.
And, you know, the great advice is do things that scare you, right? I mean, if otherwise you just get complacent and then you're kind of like, you never want to be that, you know, the person's like, you know, what if, right? And I think yeah, you've been around and you know enough and you have enough good people giving you advice in your life where you would know if it's one of these opportunities where you're like, something seems off with it, right? And everyone's been these opportunities, these websites where all of a sudden it's like, huh, this was not what I was promised at all. But the Athletic, as we've alluded to and people know, it's established, you know, as much as an established media brand can be these days, but it is, you know, it's been around for a few years. It started out small and it just kind of grew and grew and grew and grew. And now it's adding these different verticals. And with MMA, it just seems like the right time for it. And, you know, the whole thing could go belly up, but it seems like this is now, it's got that foothold in the pay content industry when it comes to sports writing. That's going to be hard for someone else just to come in and be like, I'm going to do the same thing, because they were there first and getting all the top names first. At least that's how it seems from the outside.
Yeah. And I mean, it's funny that you mentioned the word scared, because I think I was terrified, to be honest. I mean, I was leaving a very, very established place in MMA fighting, who I still consider to be the industry leader, man. I mean, like, I know that the MMA awards don't actually mean anything, but they do to some degree, just because it's fan voting and it's with the fans' opinion. And we were very honored to win, you know, best outlet of the year multiple years in a row, and leaving something like that in a position of senior leadership was extraordinarily terrifying for me, and to some degree it still is. I know it's still really only a week into this new venture, but yeah, I think the idea of not wanting to regret it really was something that kept coming back to me. If I would have seen all of these guys that I know, these people that I respect doing something like this and I wasn't a part of it, I would have been jealous of that. I would have been, you know, I would have wanted to be a part of that. And also, like you said, the Athletic name, man, like before all of this, I was already a subscriber to The Athletic because I love these type of content. I love this type of long form, put things that are, you know, 3,000 words, 4,000 words that have, you know, someone's taken a couple days to work on rather than churned out in 20 minutes. I'm a giant Phoenix Suns fan, as we said, and literally the best Phoenix Suns content this whole past terrible, awful season came from The Athletic. And so I am a huge fan of The Athletic even before all of this. So I think it really was, for at least for me, I can only speak for myself, but for me, it was just the perfect storm to, it's just, I need to try this opportunity.
You've been pretty close, obviously, with a lot of the MMA fighting team, having a lot have started after you, a lot were there before you. I imagine it was pretty difficult to tell them that you were taken off.
Yeah, it was. It really was. And it's still hard to some degree because, I mean, it was a lot very quickly, right? Because it's Mark, mm-hmm. and then it's me and Chuck. And before that, even all of that, it was Ariel. So, I mean, that, I know that's extremely difficult, and it was extremely difficult for me to just, you know, have to tell people and, you know, just everything that you do that goes into that. But there are still so many talented people over there, and I know they're going to continue to kill it. I'm not going to just name names because I know I'll leave somebody out, but they are still one of the most talented staffs, if not the single most talented staff in the entire industry. And I know all of those guys, they work their ass off and they're going to just continue killing it. And I'm the biggest MMA fighting fan of anybody. I still feel like I bleed the black and yellow of MMA fighting, and they will have my support forever.
So what are we looking at for output here, I guess? Are you looking to hit, obviously you probably don't have quotas or anything like that, as we kind of alluded to with kind of just how The Athletic is a lot different. But are you looking to do a couple features a week? Are you looking to do, or is there, you just kind of like looking for some ideas to kind of flesh out, and or what are you kind of looking at here?
You know, I don't know. And that in and of itself is exciting. We're obviously going to continue to, I mean, I feel like we have already just in this first week had very consistent content. You know, multiple articles a day, multiple features a day, and that's going to continue. But I don't know. I think on a personal level, I don't know that there's going to be sort of that edict of just, you know, hey, we need two or three features a week. I think if we're still figuring things out, but if I asked to do, hey, can I spend 2 weeks working on, you know, this big thing, maybe go fly somewhere and, you know, work on something for like a couple of weeks, I think that would be fine too. And that is really exciting. And I think that's actually what I'm most looking forward to, because right now we're still in sort of the fight week experience where we're doing, you know, everything UFC 238, but after this week, it's going to be, okay, what now? And I am really looking forward to that because it's been a long time since I've been able to sort of just breathe and not have to worry about the minutia of, you know, Dan Hooker is booked against James Vick. We got to get something about that. This person's doing this. We have to do something about that. We need to confirm this fight. We need to reach out to this manager or whatever. It's been a long, long time since I haven't had to do that and just really check Twitter every 5 minutes of my life. So I'm curious sort of what that's going to be like and sort of what that leads to, because I don't even know, to be honest. And I think that could lead to some really interesting and really creative work.
Imagine that, having time to think. In this sport?
I know, right? It's a crazy concept.
Yeah, it's tough with like, really in this content era. I mean, there's just, in any type of form of entertainment now, there's just like so much stuff happening. And I think it's just, we're so used to seeing, and again, not just MMA, but I subscribe to a Hollywood, I think it's Deadline Hollywood, like their email list, because basically every headline gets shot through in email form. And I'm interested in maybe like one out of 25 that come through just to kind of see what's going on. And, but it's like just in like Hollywood entertainment news, it is like story after story after story after story. But most of them, it's like, is this even really a story? Is it just something that's kind of like happened that you could put like a notes column or, you know, it just, and in sports, there's just like, there's this, just this pressure to be like every single thing. Everything matters. And I think honestly, it translates over to the athletes, and they're kind of like, their resistance to talking to media now is because they're part of this whole cycle. So they're looking to do their own thing. It is like, it's just this weird tornado of like bullshit at a lot of times, you know? And it's like, if it's you and a lot of the guys now are going to get a chance to jump out of the tornado and kind of step back and look at it and be like, huh, there's a cow flying by. There's this. That's kind of interesting, you know, and not just be stuck in. I think that's a really good sweet spot to be in.
It's a sweet spot to be in, but it's also, like, I keep using the word terrifying. It is terrifying to some degree because that's sort of where our culture has gone, and especially with this sport, there's no off season. So there's no real chance to sit and take a breath and recollect yourself and maybe start planning forward. Every week is a fight, more or less, and especially if you're sort of in that inside nuance of, okay, we got done with whatever, we got done with, you know, UFC Montana, and now it's UFC Sweden. Let's reset and let's figure out what we're going to do for that. You have maybe a Sunday to kind of reset, and then you're just back on it. And I know that at this point, that's sort of what the community expects too. And so it's scary to not know whether people will be into something like this. I think we just have to kind of do our absolute best work our asses off, and just hope that the product speaks for itself, and that slowly but surely people will come around and people will say, you know, this is worth spending instead of just, you know, I think right now there's a deal where it's $3 a month. So instead of just, you know, getting a coffee on Thursday, just maybe instead of spending it on this, hopefully people will come around to that. And I think we've already seen, at least in this first week, we're certainly seeing a reception of a lot of people who have reached out to all of us and said similar sentiments. So that's been nice, and that's reassuring, but it is still very scary moving into something like this, where it is really an unknown space in this sport, at least.
But luckily, you will be with some people you know and work with, like Chuck, who you did one A-side with. That was the first one after Mark left. And he's going to be coming. He's obviously coming with you, but he's also coming with you to do a podcast that launches in July, I think, right? The Man and the Myth, M-I-T-H, meaning Man in the Hat.
Yes, sir. I cannot wait for this. The Man in the Myth podcast starting, I believe we're starting at the beginning of July. And we're probably going to have multiple shows a week. Chuck and I have worked together for a long, long time at this point. Me and him have used each other to bounce ideas off each other and to edit each other's stories in the middle of the night for a long time at this point. And I think he's the single best writer in all of MMA, one of the best writers in the entire world when it comes to anything. I respect that man so much, and it's going to be really cool working with him on a show like this, because I have always enjoyed any events that we cover together. Anytime we've gotten a chance to do sort of like that A-side that we did, or we do the Fight Week preview shows that we did for MMA Fighting or anything like that.
And so so several times a week. So what is the format going to be pretty similar, like listener questions, or are you going to do, or are you kind of not sure yet as far as like length of the show and all that? Like, is that still being worked out?
Yeah. So a lot of the details still being worked out. I think at this point we're looking at probably doing two or three shows a week, depending on what's going on. But I think a lot of the details we still need to hammer out once we get through UFC 238 stuff. But it's definitely going to be fun. And we have some really cool ideas already percolating. We have some really creative ideas that we're kind of throwing around. And I'm really looking forward to getting that off the ground.
So we'll round out with this, as you mentioned, Tony Ferguson feature and also a Henry Cejudo feature, which at last check was leading on the Athletic MMA page about, I was in a conversation with someone else about, was it the word corny came up? But what is the word actually used in your feature? What is the term he uses for himself?
The king of cringe.
Cringy. That was the word that came up earlier. And then I saw your feature. I linked to that and I'm like, well, here you go. Here's a good example. He calls himself this. So for those that have maybe it's a nice enticement for if someone's looking to subscribe again for $2.99 a month, what can they expect to read in this Cejudo feature? You followed him around Chicago for a day or a couple days, right?
Yeah, it was a pretty interesting time. I mean, I followed him basically all throughout Thursday's sort of media experience. So he started the day doing a first pitch in Wrigley Field. He's done several first pitches throughout his athletic career, but he had to do one for the Chicago Cubs in legendary Wrigley Field. And then he sort of went to media day and did the media day stuff, faced off with Marlon Moraes. And I kind of fly on the wall, just shadowed him throughout all of it. And I don't know. I mean, I feel like I came away from it with a different perspective on Henry Cejudo. And hopefully I was able to articulate that to some degree for the reader, because I think there is a lot of interesting stuff in there about sort of the road that he's been on and maybe what he's trying to do to save a flyweight division that at this point has 12 fighters. And that's, they can't even pull out a top 15. And we, it's just that whole everything around 125 pounds is just so strange and mysterious and almost feels as though we're just waiting for the final nail in the coffin. And he is someone out here trying to do his absolute darndest to keep that division alive, even though he knows that he's making a lot of people dislike him. And the road to be able to get to that point for him was very difficult because he's someone who cares what people think about him. So hopefully I was able to articulate that to some degree in the piece, but it was a very interesting day for me. And I think there is some value in maybe somebody who not knowing Henry as intimately to sort of see what he's doing, I guess.
And then the Tony Ferguson piece, I haven't got a chance to read that yet, but kind of go into that.
Yeah. I mean, I got a chance to speak with Tony on Wednesday and you know, it was before he ended up going to open workouts. And then I obviously went to open workouts and just sort of watched him from afar there too. And Tony, I think to me, he is the biggest story coming into this week in Chicago. I mean, he is a man who has long been sort of deserved an opportunity that has just not come his way for various circumstances. And then obviously what happened earlier this year with his family and the restraining order and everything. He is the most fascinating man in all of MMA to me, even before all of this happened. So I was just able to get a little bit inside of his head and just see sort of where his mind's at. And it seems like he's in a very, very good place. His new management, he has new people around him, and he seems extremely re-energized. And he also just seems, I guess more importantly, he seems okay. He seems okay. He seems like he has sort of gotten through his darkness. And he don't ask him if he's okay, because he certainly doesn't. He gets very upset if someone asks him if he's okay.
Uh-huh.
Understandably so. But he seems to be in a very good place. And a motivated Tony Ferguson, especially against a guy like Donald Cerrone, a motivated Donald Cerrone, that to me is the main event on Saturday. I can't wait for that.
Yep. Going to be make a very interesting lightweight division even more interesting, no matter what the result. Yeah, it's crazy, crazy stuff. Fun time to be following it, and a fun time to be finding people to write features about. That's what you're going to be doing a lot on The Athletic. Before I let you go, why don't you go ahead and plug social media and also where people can get this sweet 40% off deal in The Athletic.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. Follow me on Twitter, at Sean Alshadi. We're doing killing it so far for UFC 238, hopefully. And we're going to continue in the future, just keep doing, trying to do interesting stuff. Things maybe that people don't expect. And I don't know the exact web address. I really should. I think it's athletic.com/MMA launch, something like that. But if that's not it, follow me or Chuck Mendenhall or check Ben Folks' Twitter or Chad Dundas or Josh Gross or Fernando or Dan, anybody, the Athletic MMA's Twitter. There is a deal going on still to be able to get 40% off. I think it's $3 a month. Full subscription. It's not even just MMA. You get all of the content on The Athletic, and they have every sport that you could imagine, and they pretty much have the best writers in all of those sports. So it's an incredible team to work with, and it's an honor for me.
So you can follow them at The Athletic MMA, and the website URL is theathletic.com/MMA launch. And again, I am a subscriber. I don't get anything for this, but look, $2.99. I like deals as much as anyone. I get a young kid. I get mouths to feed here. If I can save some money trying something out, I want to do it. So yeah, you guys should check it out. So yeah, go to the Athletic MMA and save 40% off now, and read Sean's features and everyone else's features as well. I think for a first week, a lot more content than I expected, which is good, and a lot different than the usual merry-go-round tornado of content that I used to other places. So it's I think it's going to be a nice niche. But yeah, well, Sean, congrats again. Best of luck to you, even though CM Punk says luck is for losers, so you don't need any luck. But I'm glad you're going to get a chance to breathe and take it in and get some good stories. And I think this is going to be great. I know I speak for all of us that we're really excited to see what you and the team comes up with and driving each other. I think it's a really good team. I think there's going to be some I was talking with Dan. I think there's going to be a nice competitive balance there, competitive in a good way, that people are going to be kind of like, Everyone's going to help raise each other's games. We're talking about Fernanda, if I'm pronouncing that right, who's kind of the newbie of the bunch, and say newbie in terms of, like, I think being as well known to the more general MMA fan, and she kind of like feels that, but Dan's like she's going to be right along with these guys, and she's going to learn a lot, and she's going to be a name that people are going to know. So I think it's a great team. It's kind of fun to watch from the outside, see if everything comes together.
Yeah, thank you, man. I appreciate all of that. I think that was definitely something that Ben Folks, me and Chuck Minn and all have all sort of said within each other in the last couple of weeks. It's just the creative energy in this room right now is really exciting. And I think what you said, this sort of friendly competition of each one of us sort of inspiring each other. I think I've already encountered that with Ben Folks. I mean, he had an incredible Joe Riggs piece I would highly recommend anybody go out and read that. And I was inspired by that piece. And I think he has also said echoed similar sentiments to me about a couple of things I've done. And so I think it's going to be a very cool dynamic sort of for all of us to stretch our legs a little bit, and maybe in ways that we haven't in the last couple of years.
Sean El Shaadi, enjoy Chicago, get some deep dish pizza, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good, brother. I appreciate it, man.
All right. Big thanks to both Dan and Sean for spending the time today, being Friday. So those interviews are recorded on Friday. And yeah, so you'll be listening to this on Saturday when the show goes up. So yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed that. It was an interesting look into what they're looking to do. The big thing, you know, is going to be time. It's the time that people want to spend with stuff. I think the Athletic's going to find out probably within, you know, first 6 months or so, maybe a year. I don't think it'll take that long, but they'll figure out kind of what people are interested in when it comes to sport. I don't think they'll all of a sudden transition and start doing, you know, the typical news coverage that we talked about on the podcast, but you know, that's really what it's going to come down to, is whether MMA fans, A, are willing to pay, which I think they will, if they're interested in the writers and so on. And I think it's important for the Athletic to be in the combat sports space, you know, if they're going to be covering all this other stuff. You know, WNBA and some of these other kind of niche verticals, you know, those, they have audiences, but MMA is kind of a very unique audience, but also one that knows how to pay. So I think it's smart they did that. But I think they're gonna find out pretty quick kind of what the audience really is all about when it comes to taking in content. And I think we're all going to learn about that. So again, best luck those guys. I am a subscriber, like I said, but for $3 a month, you know, my expectations are I'm just looking for a good product, and it's part of my media diet and stuff I'm going to take in. The app itself, it's good. It takes a little bit to kind of get used to in terms of trying to find the podcast and so on. It's pretty intuitive once you go through that process. And when I was kind of scrolling through looking at that, I just wanted to find like the MMA section and just include that as a team, because it's not really like an MMA team. You could say UFC, but the way they're kind of covering this more as a sport. So you can pick different teams to select, but you can't pick MMA. So it's kind of tough to get some of the stuff sent right to your phone in your content feed and things like that. So those are just kind of things that I think they'll work through. But it's, you know, so far it's, they have stuff that I'm interested in reading, and I think if you guys have time and are interested in reading too, I think you'll find some of the content in there good, and obviously that's their intent with this crew. So this is the crew that's going to do it. If they can't do it, then it can't be done. But I'm looking forward to seeing what they do in the months and in the years ahead, hopefully. And let's see, obviously, again, UFC whatever. I can honestly not remember what the hell this UFC event is this week and what the number of it is. I want to say 234, but that doesn't sound right. 238. So we touched on it a little bit. You can get a preview of the show 1,000 other places. Actually, I did one this past week. I was on, let's see, I want to get the name of this right. It's actually a growing podcast network. Dun, dun, dun. Where is it? I said this like a couple days ago. Oh yeah, rockfin.com, rokfin.com. Dave McGrath, who's a guy out of Boston, has hosted a show there for quite some time. And also they have Ben Askren and what else? What? Oh my God, I am completely blanking. What else they have on this network? But the Ben Askren, the Funky, and Something Else show is on this network, as well as the MMA Roasted guy, Adam, whatever his name is, he's on that as well. So there's a, and they do a lot of other combat sports stuff. So it's ROKFIN.com. If you go to my Twitter feed, just scroll down a little bit. I'll probably retweet it on Saturday as well. But it was fun. It's basically just, like four dudes just talking about the fights this weekend. And it was fun. It was fun. I actually could have easily gone for a couple hours, talking about this stuff. I think we probably went for like 90 minutes, and Dave's power cut out, so the talk got cut short after about 90 minutes or so. But it was very entertaining stuff, and hopefully I'll be back on there. So again, ROKFIN.com. Look for David McGrath, and again, I'll retweet this. But it's a preview of this weekend's UFC 238. But, you know, going forward, I think this, again, you can get these previews a lot of places, so I don't think I'm ever going to really do, I think I'm going to walk away from doing that type of stuff here, you know, other than maybe some, you know, bigger hits or just little hits when it comes to events and things like that. But, you know, you're not going to get like a UFC Rochester preview here anymore. I think I'm more kind of bigger picture stuff and what have you in the business. So we'll see how things go this summer. There's a lot to talk about, this summer's events. The, International Fight Week is interesting. So I think, you know, events like that, obviously, we'll spend a little bit more time on deep diving there, but you know, the run of the mill, Aspen Ladd versus, Jermaine Duranamy show. I can't imagine spending too much time on that, but you know, that's kind of where, again, you can get that a thousand different places. So, we'll do things a little bit differently here, like we did this week when you heard about The Athletic and how they're being created. And my hope is next week we are going to talk about the creation of another media entity, one that's hopefully has already been a little bit of a thorn in the UFC side, but is doing some interesting things. Wizard, by our old friend Jeremy Botter. We have been set to talk here for a few weeks, and my guess is we're going to talk this week. So if you made this far in the podcast, look forward to that next week. That is the hope. Jeremy Botter from Wizard talking about that project and why he's doing it and what reactions he's got from inside the UFC. Started out really hot, and so we're gonna talk all about that, the reaction he got, and all that good stuff coming up here next week. So without further ado, actually, I always say that, not without further ado, I'm going to let you guys go. You have a lot of choices in your podcast day. I appreciate you spending any time with me. My apologies that I was gone for a couple months, but I'm back. And hopefully you guys enjoy the content. And if you have other ideas, shoot them my way on Twitter at Josh Nason, JOSHNASON, or Josh at WrestlingObserver.com in the old email box. And I'd be happy to look at them. Josh Nason, Josh Nason's Punch Out. Until next time, insert catchphrase here.